Okay, great. We'll move on to the next hackathon project, which will be presented by Mike Bennett.
Okay, let's see if I can keep this one brief. This is another long, interesting hackathon. The challenge we had, I think, was I don't do programming, and a hackathon is like lots of hacky people doing really deep technical things, and how could we do a hackathon in the realm of meaning itself, as it were? That was kind of the challenge we set ourselves. So slide two, then. So I'll first start by describing who participated. We had quite a broad global spread. So we had Annette Hopper from France, Bran Neumann from the US, Jeff Braswell from the US, Max Gilmore down in Australia, myself, Mike Bennett, was in the US for most of that time, Mike Dean here in the US, Mirko Morandini in Italy, and Tatiana Polotaeva, who joined us from Russia on the second day, and Gary Bergcross, my co-conspirator in setting it up and getting the example data in place and so on. So our challenge then, what could we do as a hackathon that dealt with real meaning, and what would it look like? We decided we wanted to come up with something that would try and integrate and reuse ontologies across different kinds of concept. And so we chose the idea of risk as being something that requires you to integrate stuff from events, situations, statistics, incidents, and so on. And that would give us a chance to think about the semantic abstractions, to unify those, to look at ontology design patterns and so on, and look at all the issues around reuse, aiming towards a kind of notional application, although we didn't ever think we'd have time to do the actual application. We wanted our endpoint to be describing what a nice app might look like. Okay, so on slide four, I'm going to skip over slide four because it's really just a kind of digest of the rest of these slides. So I shall move quickly on to where we started, slide five. So we started with a little brainstorming scoping session. How would we approach this? What area of risk would we look at, and so on? Bran Neumann came up with the insight that we should think of ontologies as a bottom-up thing from looking at example data, but we wanted to also think about how to reuse and conceptualize. So we actually did a bit of both. We did bottom-up from the data. We looked at a few example data sets to think about where we could get to articulate an ontology from, this is where we had a lot of available data on traffic and transport incidents and things. We did take a little detour and look at some drug trials and other things that had adverse effects. And interesting, the word adverse effect there was really very specific to drug trials. We even had a word with them, and they said, oh, well, we could make it more abstract and make it adverse medical effects generally. Still wasn't useful for adverse effects in delays in trains and things. So that was an interesting lesson in this sort of context of applications and so on. So we decided to go with travel adverse events as our focus and think about an application where you had to get from A to B and look at all the risks for that. So on slide six, we then split up the work. So Mirko, well, I'll describe the ontologies on the next one, and I'll show who did these things as we go through it. So Mirko did the general risk terms, basically abstracting from some stuff he'd previously done on software risks. Annette did the bottom-up, very huge amount of work on deriving an ontology from example data sets. Mike Dean did an ontology for trip concepts. I'll talk more about that, how that extended some existing stuff. Max Gilmore did the ontology for event impacts. And Tatiana then came along and did further refinement on that impacts ontology later on. So we worked collaboratively firstly through this little diagram, which was really moving and changing the whole time. It's not very readable on here, but we basically wanted a modular set of ontologies. We identified what content would be in each of them. You see there's a number of other ontologies we import, like trajectories. We had a common events pattern. That event C4DU down there was the event ontology design pattern that we wanted to use and extend both to describe risk events and is actually also a basis for some of the trajectory stuff, although that's not shown there. And so we basically started with the idea of a general pattern of risk as being a product of probability and impact being against some kind of goal, in this case traveling and so on, and then worked out how to try and parcel out the work between those. That was on slide 7. So then slide 8 describes the ontologies themselves. I mentioned the risk concepts ontology, which imported the common events, also imported the FIBO goals ontology because the impact of an event relates to some goal. We had the risk assessment, looking at the impact of things. The travel adverse events, this was the bottom-up ontologization of the sample data set. And then the trip ontology, which takes a trajectory ontology, which itself extends the event design pattern. We saw in one of the Track A presentations how that was further extended to talk about cruises and so on. So here it was extended to talk about the possible ways of getting from A to B. So our example use case of the person has to get from here in D.C. to Austin, Texas at 9 o'clock on a certain morning. What are the different ways they can get there? And so the trajectory thing went through those different routes, and then the different other ontologies described the risks and the impacts of those risks and so on. So slide 9, then the basic risk concepts ontology. Mirko Morandini took his open source software ontology and essentially generalized it from that very specific application to the more general concepts of the risk event, impact, the goal, as I mentioned, imported from FIBO, and so on. On slide 10, we had a specialized impact ontology that Max Gilmore worked on. Interesting innovation here that we describe both loss and gain as possible impacts, i.e. possible outcomes of something, and so we're able to talk about not just negative risk, but when we look at other aspects, other business areas like finance and so on, one person's loss is another person's gain. So that's some of the thinking that's coming out of the finance community at the moment, which we wanted to reapply here, and the different ways you could mitigate risks and so on. And you'll see that the same common concepts are reappearing in each of these ontologies based around the common event pattern. Slide 11, this is obviously not intended to be read at this level. This is just a tiny part of Annette's bottom-up ontology of the data that was in the travel adverse events. And one of the things we realized later was that as we look at the nature of risks, we need to be able to roll up some of these. So she created this very deep taxonomy. There's several more layers over on the right there that aren't in this diagram that describe all the things that could happen on trains, planes, and automobiles. Slide 12, then, this is the external trajectory ontology. This was the building blocks from which we then extended. This is what Mike Dean created, extended to create the trip ontology. So everything in trip that describes how you got from A to B was built using the building blocks of this semantic trajectory, which shows how some item, in this case me, moves from one place to another within some physical space. So each of these ontologies, the trip ontology itself, I should mention all of these others, we ingested them into a visual ontology modeler tool in order to get a good look at them. In fact, this first one we actually firstly created in the visual tool, but then it got overwritten as due to an issue with the tool, and so this was actually created in Protégé and imported again. So all of these were done in Protégé and imported into this modeler so we could all see what each other's ontologies look like. I don't have diagrams for the trip one, unfortunately, but it contains the different ways you could get from A to B for this example and a number of individuals like stations and so on, which are then to be moved to another application ontology. So we're starting to see how this would look as the final product if you were going to productize this. Slide 14, then. So we basically, to summarize the activities, the different ontologies were created in Protégé, imported into this visual ontology modeler tool in order to get a look at what it looks like. We're neither endorsing nor critiquing the tool here. We're simply showing what sorts of things tools can do in the hopes that that opens up some of the conversations on that. The different ontologies were all created in different syntaxes of OWL, N3, Turtle, and so on. And the idea was to have an overall integrating ontology which would pull all those together. As I say, the travel adverse events one was created bottom-up from the data itself. Slide 15. So we kind of reached an end point where there was a couple of things left to do. The obvious but simple. So integrating all of those concepts into a single ontology, perhaps if we were to do it again, we would redispose more of those concepts in different ontologies. In the TRIP ontology, we realized that there were things we could think about in terms of risk that weren't yet reflected in the travel adverse events ontology, so there's a bit of rolling up to be done there. So that's kind of other work that would be done if we were to continue it. But I think we reached the point where we showed what such an integrated ontology would look like. Slide 16. So then a couple of interesting observations along the way about reuse and so on. Some of the ontologies have a very generalized domain and range for properties, you know, thing to thing and so on, which makes perfect sense when you look at how that individual ontology is developed. But if you're developing for reuse, you might want to say more about the intended meaning of those properties so we would know how and when to reuse them. The tooling we found, visual tooling is very helpful in getting an integrated team to understand what they're looking at. What there wasn't was integrated tooling for having a set of different ontologies with relationships between them and understanding the imports, even being able to move concepts around from one ontology to another, that kind of development tooling. The tooling we had was very good for stable published ontologies on the web with the disciplines of those required, but you need a bit of indiscipline when you're trying to throw it all together. So that was an interesting lesson. Finally, the trajectory ontology, we recognized at the end that it was actually usable beyond just travel, that it would have a lot of applications in logistics and so on. And perhaps with a bit of imagination and more abstraction again, financial cash flows are very analogous to the kind of trajectory issues we're looking at. So actually, we're closer than we thought to being able to do a kind of financial risk application as well. So that's really it. I'm over time, but those are really our conclusions. We exercise both the bottom-up and the top-down extension and abstraction and identify some interesting opportunities from that. So thank you all very much.
Is there a quick question?
Quentin Rowe from Walter Kluwer. You mentioned like the ODPs. Where did you find them? Is that something that was part of the OOP website, or was it something that you determined yourself as being the correct patterns?
So we started with a couple of patterns. One was the event pattern, which had been presented at several of the Track A sessions on reuse, and so we wanted to pick that up and make use of that. Another one was a pattern from the FIBO standard on risk as being a product of probability and impact, and we used that as our kind of unifying factors for how to approach risk in general. And then trajectory itself is effectively an ODP. That was recommended by one of the members of the group who'd worked on it, Mike Dean. So he brought that to the table. That extends the event pattern and creates its own patterns. That was it really. We didn't really need to look for more patterns than that.
Mark Underwood, Krypton. Short question about the visualization tool that you used, pros and cons for having a visualization tool or not, and how to interoperate between that and the people who didn't have one.
It was very useful for getting everybody to get a clear picture of each other's ontologies so we could see where all the different patterns were. I would like to have had the same functionality in a more integrated environment where we could move stuff around. And, of course, because it wasn't a free tool, all the work that everybody did was actually in Protégé. So all we used the visualization tool for was to share the insights between the different team members as to what was in each other's ontologies. Does that answer your question?
Okay. Thank you, Mike.